fighting, hatred, fear. Had enough of the noise?
Welcome everyone to Energetic Health Radio. My goodness, folks, what a crazy week. Good week, challenging week, hard week. I hope wherever you are listening to this episode that you've had a good week and that you're enjoying the finer points of what freedom is supposed to be about on the weekends listening in. We have a very, very special guest with us here today. John Bodwin, who is just an incredible, incredibly dedicated dad, incredibly dedicated freedom fighter, incredibly dedicated pursuer of truth. Let's bring on my good friend and fellow patriot here, John Bodwin, brother. How you doing?
Doing great. Got my book. Happy. Now I'm waiting for the other one. Waiting for that one. That one's in and that one's coming.
So why don't you tell us which one's here right now that we can all be excited about and support you?
Sure. This book is for everyone. It was written in a style of a book. It starts out with, on St. Patrick's Day in 2020, I was sitting in a bar. And so that's a book. That's called The Real CDC. And I write under a pen name. I liked El Gato Malo, the bad cat, right? Mm-hmm. And that's in Spanish, but I'm French. I'm not Spanish. And I like dogs. So how do you say the bad dog in French? Coquin de chien. It's in script at the top. The initials of Coquin de chien are CDC. Now you know why there's a lowercase d between the two C's there. So I say I'm the real CDC. That's where it comes from. It was serendipitous that we have an agency called that I can make fun of. Sorry, Dr. Ely, you were going to say.
No, you're totally good. And I've been privy to this information. You've been so great in sharing it and organizing it and teaching us on your analysis of it and everything. So while I'm sure not everything is new to me, there will be some things that are going to be new to me, but I can't wait to read this book. So I've been hounding you. When can I purchase? When can I purchase? You're like, you can pre-order. I'm like, I don't want to pre-order. I want my book. So now that we're at this point where I can get this book, where do I get to go to order this book and get this party started?
It's a complicated website called therealcdc.com.
Oh, well, let me see if I can spell that. T-H-E-R, therealcdc.com. Folks, you can go to therealcdc.com. And remember how we do this, healers, right? You know where I stand on this, everybody. We've got to support each other. We've got to support the people who are fighting for us. When they put out a book, I do care if you read it. We want you to read it. He didn't write it so that you wouldn't read it. He wrote it so you'd read it and get informed. I'm going to read it, and I already know a lot of the information there because he's been teaching me about it for so long. But what do I really care about here, healers? That you go to therealcdc.com right now and you purchase this book. Because this man has put in, John, just give everybody an idea. How many estimated hours of volunteerism have you done in this fight over the last 4 years?
You know what I'm going to, I don't know, thousands, in the thousands.
It's easily in the thousands. Easily, folks, in the thousands. I'm going to be a little bit more precise because I've done these kind of mental manipulations, John. My estimate is that every single person on the teams that I've worked with has invested over 2,500 hours every single year since they started. So if you've been at this 4 years, guess where that puts you at in terms of time invested? 10,000 volunteer hours. I know I'm way over 10,000 volunteer hours at this point. So when you get a chance to support somebody with a couple of bucks, and to get some good information that's going to help you educate your family, go to therealcdc.com and make sure you support John Bodwin, and you're going to feel great for doing it. And we are going to feel great for you doing it too. And that's how we start taking back this country, not at the polls so much as how we feel about the world we live in. So, John, take us through what you got for us today. I know you got an incredible presentation and a bunch of information to share with us. What do you got for us today?
All right. Let me just pop over to the presentation.
For those of you, we'll see if we can get a copy of this presentation. John, would you be able to share a PDF version of this presentation so we could put it in the show notes?
Yes, I will get you. Oh, you mean now or
not,
later?
Not now, just for when people are watching this on a recording. All right, fantastic. Yep. Well, you got the mic. I'm going to jump in periodically as you're explaining stuff with some questions that I think listeners might have. And I'll give you a little signal when we're coming up against the break and everything, okay? But go ahead and take the mic and take us through it, brother.
Very good. All right. I did mention the other, well, I'll just drop down here real quick to, All right. The other one is a spiral bound 8.5 by 11. It's a memorandum, which is written in a legal style. It's not a book. Okay. The book is for everybody to read and understand. The CDC memorandum has an immense number of factual allegations, about 120 pages, 172 paragraphs of factual allegations of real death certificate numbers, names. I've redacted the Minnesota names that are in there. So there are fake names for Minnesota, but real names for Massachusetts, Vermont, Oklahoma, and New York. There are about 155 pages of roughly 400 graphs of various causes of death and the trending over the years. So if you want the two of them, the CDC memorandum on its own is $150, ridiculous price, right? If you want both books together, it's $55. And the book is 50. So it's up to you. I only mention it because everybody seems to be buying the bundle, and I don't want you to not have the opportunity to do that. So, all right, let's go. This presentation was made for a Sunday call most recently. This is my most recent presentation. I've done Massachusetts for over a year, year and a half. I've been talking about Massachusetts. I'm going to talk a little bit more about Minnesota in this one. This was made for Minnesota people, but it refers to Mass. But in order to get into Minnesota, I'm going to have to tell you about Massachusetts, because this is ground zero. Everybody talks about, you know, was it Wuhan or New York? Or there's a reason why Massachusetts is very important to this whole thing, and why you can blame Massachusetts for very much of this. Thousands of hours, science is not the way out. Pragmatism and the individual discerning mind are the way out. Trust yourself and your own knowledge before any others. The book is broken into four parts. When I give a presentation, I used to do data first and then people last, because I have a captive audience for a couple hours usually, and they leave with the last thing that they were, you know, the impression was the last thing that they were told, which is about the people. And that's the most important thing, not the data. But with the book, I have to grab people's attention so they'll continue to read the book. So I switched it. And it talks about people. Cassidy was a 7-year-old girl. She reacted in minutes and died in a few days. And on her death certificate, they say she died of COVID. Three strokes in three women in 3 months. March, April, and early June of 2021, they knew. And I know they knew, because for Brianna, she was 30 years old, high school teacher. Reacted in a few hours, had a headache so bad she went to the emergency room twice. They sent her home with a headache. And when she got home the second time, she didn't recognize her sister. She was having a stroke. So they brought her in. They cut a hole in her head trying to relieve the pressure, but the clots were all through her head. So that didn't work. She had a seizure, paralyzed in half of her body. And within a couple of days, she was no brain activity. And the family, yes, Dr. Ely.
So John, tell everybody again, how quickly are these, like Cassidy and these cases occurring that you're citing right now, like from the time the shot was administered to when the symptom presentation kind of came on?
Yeah, so Cassidy, the 7-year-old, it said prior vaccine, 5 minutes, started vomiting. He vomited for 8 to 10 hours.
Wow.
Then
how old was Cassidy again, John?
7 years old.
So a
Seven.
7-year-old little girl gets a shot. 5 minutes later, she starts vomiting, then vomits for 8 to 10 straight hours.
Yeah. And then unfortunately they gave her a second shot, which is what the report's about. That was prior vax. So they give her this one, and she had terrible stomach pain, 103 degree fever, didn't have a bowel movement for 3 days. And then the report ends because the report was made before Cassidy died. And that report was made in bears of a 7-year-old girl. And I have all the 7-year-old girls in the entirety of Massachusetts who died that year. And the only one that matched really in timing was Cassidy. The other two, there were two that lived beyond, and there was another one whose symptoms started months earlier. So this is the only one where the symptoms were in, it was days. And on her death certificate, it said days. But her death certificate, well, let me close out on VAERS report. It said that 103 degree fever, no bowel movement for 3 days. And then, yeah, the report ends. That's right. I already finished that. Now, her death certificate, there's only one thing in cause A and part one. So part one is causes A, B, C, D. It's reverse time order. All you need to know is part one is causes, and part two is contributing conditions, which may have been, contributing to the death, like diabetes or smoking, things like that. They usually put in part two. But I'll tell you right now that the doctors generally don't know how to fill out death certificates. They're very bad at it. The medical examiners are pretty good at it because they do about 400 a year. Doctors, depends on the doctor. If it's a care home doctor, they're a little bit better because a lot of old people die in care homes. And they know how to fill them out properly. But Cassidy's death certificate did say, let me get this right. It was fungal and bacterial pleurisy. I forget the exact words, but that's what it was. It was both fungal and bacterial pleurisy and asthma. Now, why would a 7-year-old girl have fungal and bacterial pleurisy? She was wearing a mask 5 days a week, 6 hours a day. That might have something to do with it. It's a breeding ground for both fungi and bacteria. And then that hurt the only thing in part one, let me get back to that. Most important thing, complications of coronavirus 19 viral infection. No mention of the vaccine. They told all the moms and dads, and it was on all the news, and this is what prompted me to get all the death certificates. They told everybody she died from COVID. She died from the vaccine. Now, with these stories, I will. Oh, and then Brianna, the 30-year-old, she reacted, and it says the same day or a few hours, But I'm gonna get into the presentation and try to go a little faster here.
Well, here, John, let's take a quick break. All right. And let's pay these bills here at America Out Loud and bring you back and let you just start running through the presentation for everybody. Again, everybody, if you are listening on to this live, you're going to get a lot of great information. And if you want to get the show notes and see the actual presentation that John is sharing, you'll be able to get that when the live broadcast goes to podcast, typically by Monday, right afterwards. Okay. So we'll be right back with more Energetic Health Radio and special guest John Bodman right after these messages.
Spike proteins help viruses enter into your cells, disrupting your health and your well-being. Global Healing's Foreign Protein Cleanse detoxes your body of spike proteins, which allows your body to repair from within, supporting your immune and respiratory systems and regulating your inflammatory response. Formulated by Dr. Edward Group and by Dr. Brian Artis, Foreign Protein Cleanse targets and detoxes spike proteins in the body. Go to AmericaOutloud.shop and get 15% off using the code OUTLOUD. Global Healing, giving you the power to take control of your health naturally.
I'm so confused. I don't know what to do.
I'm afraid of going to the hospital.
My doctor tells me nutrition doesn't work.
Trust is earned. We are the Energetic Health Institute, and we want to earn your trust. Natural medicine, holistic nutrition, detoxification, fasting, cellular healing, and so much more. Remember, the best way to be free is to be healthy. So stop being a patient and start being a student at energetichealthinstitute.org.
All right, healers, welcome back. We're here with special guest John Bodwin. Make sure you go to therealcdc.com. That's therealcdc.com and get not only his new book that he's just published, but also the memorandum. You can get it for one low cost. Just go to therealcdc.com and make sure you're supporting people who are supporting you. John, go ahead and take back over, brother, and I'll jump in with some questions as you go through.
Sounds good. I'm going to try to go a little bit fast here because there's a lot of information. The thesis of the book, if you go to whatever page it's on, it says thesis right above it. The symptom spectrum profile, that's the causes of death throughout society, right? What is everybody dying from? The age spectrum profile, what's the average age of people based on causes, genders, things like that? But just look, the age spectrum profile of that society, and the seasonality profile is when people are dying from what. Now, I'm in New England, gets pretty cold here, so more people die of respiratory illnesses in the winter, pneumonia based on flu and colds and stuff like that. So they all changed starkly on a year boundary from 2020 to 2021, coincident with the introduction of COVID vaccines, so-called gene therapy drugs, whatever you want to call them. They're not vaccines, but anyway. How does a disease change how it's going to kill you, who it's going to kill, and when it's going to kill you all of a sudden on a year boundary? Does that sound like a disease? Does it sound like there's manual man intervention there? Again, why is Massachusetts important? Now I'm going to tell you. There are 600 pharma companies in Massachusetts with $47 billion in venture capital financing behind them. There are 10 companies over $1 billion per year in revenue in Massachusetts, 50 over 100 million a year in revenue. Moderna's headquarters and R&D are in Massachusetts. Pfizer's divisional headquarters of mRNA, R&D, manufacturing, all in Massachusetts. My congressman is on the bottom left there, Jake Auchincloss. Why is that important? Now, it's pretty important because Hugh Auchincloss worked under Fauci directly as the number two man for 20 years, his father. Walensky, the former CDC commissioner or director, Massachusetts. We've got Sanofi, Thermo Fisher, Novartis, Takeda, Biogen, Merck, Bristol-Myers Squibb, Johnson & Johnson, AstraZeneca, Amgen, and GlaxoSmithKline, all in Massachusetts. So that's kind of interesting, right? Because I tracked for the first year the purported COVID deaths of every sovereign in the world that has over 3 million people. That includes every U.S. state, every nation in the world that has more than 3 million people. And coincidentally, with a virus that supposedly started halfway around the world in China, New York, New Jersey, and Massachusetts, where BlackRock and the financiers of the pharma companies and Wall Street is, and New Jersey, where all the executives kind of live in a suburb of New York City. And then the state that has all the pharma companies and all the money that is to be made from pharma. Those three locations ran away from the world. Belgium was a distant fourth. Massachusetts was 50% more than Belgium, which was number four in the entire world on July 27, 2020, after that first big wave. And when everybody in the world looked at the United States and they thought they were looking at this big, huge wave of COVID deaths, they were really looking at three states.
It's crazy to me, John, when you say something like that, because you look at the entire world. And like you said, you're like, I want to see every country or state that has over 3 million people in population, right? And you see New York, New Jersey, Massachusetts, and you don't even see another country until you get to Belgium, Spain, and then it's Louisiana again, it looks like, right? And then Michigan again. And then what's number eight right there?
Back then, when I first, it was Spain.
Italy. That's Italy, number eight. And then nine, United Kingdom.
You're looking at a different, which date are you looking at?
Oh, I'm looking at May 27th. Let me go to July 27th. New Jersey, New York, Massachusetts, Belgium. I just keep seeing I keep seeing states, right? And it's crazy what you're saying, because you're like, this starts in China. You would think the big, with a huge population, that's where most of the deaths should have been, especially that early on. But yet it's in these key states. And what do we have, everybody? The money. So, John, I didn't mean to cut you off. I was tracking this same data early on when this was going on in real time, too. And I found the exact same things to be true. And it was like so mind-boggling. It had to be fraud.
Yeah. Well, if you look at Sweden up there, who did not mask and did not do anything for this first year, bear in mind, there's no vaccine at this point. Mm-hmm. Massachusetts stays this teal blue all the way through the entire year. Sweden went down and down and down. They're the yellow. Sweden's in yellow. Mm-hmm. And every month I checked it, Sweden was getting passed by all the countries who enacted all the strict orders, who purported more COVID deaths. So more people were dying in the countries with all the strict orders than Sweden that didn't do anything. Okay, that's just for history. I sent the Minnesota memorandum was last June. I did that, and I sent it to the governor, lieutenant governor, attorney general, and health commissioner. And these are the certified mail receipts saying that they received it. And these are two graphs. These are examples from the Minnesota memorandum before I get into the main body of this presentation. These are age groups 55 to 64 and 25 to 44, acute renal failure deaths. These are not small numbers. In these younger age groups, let's say 25 to 44, there were 63 extra people who died involving acute renal failure. And people say remdesivir, could be. You know, it could be baricitinib. It could be a combination of the two. I personally think it's vancomycin in combination with other things. I think vancomycin is the kidney killer. And, you know, doctors tell me I'm crazy, but it's what I find when I look at the actual reports. So you look at the 55 to 64, 269 excess people in those 2 years. You can add another 50% more for 2023. This is only 21 and 22. These graphs kind of tell what's going on. You go into a hospital and you'll get killed. You'll get kidney killed.
How many people listening right now have that experience, right? Somebody went into a hospital, somebody that you loved, and they didn't come out. And what's always been the recommendation? We've heard from people like Dr. Artis, remdesivir, right? That's the one. Run, death is near. Just make sure you don't get somebody put on remdesivir. But what John's talking about right here is maybe remdesivir isn't the only one. What were the other names that you had on there, John? What were the other two that we were seeing on the death certificates?
You go in, you test positive, they hit you with remdesivir so they get the extra 20% on the NCTAP money payout, which is listed on CMS.gov as a November 2 date when it kicked in. There was an EUA in April, another one in May for different age groups. There was another one October 22nd. And when the kidney started failing was 2 weeks after the November 2nd date. So people talk about the EUAs, that's one thing. But until the money kicks in, the behavior of doctors and hospitals to kill people with a drug doesn't change. When the money kicks in, the behavior changes. It's a behavior modification incentive built into a law. That's what happened. The things are baricitinib, which goes by the name Olumiant, remdesivir, which goes by the name Veklury, are both on that NCTAP, CMS.gov. But there are, after you've gone through that, they hit you with the midazolam, lorazepam, mm-hmm. propofol, dexmedetomidine, fentanyl. There's a whole cocktail which slows your breathing. Oh, you need to go on a ventilator so they can get more money. You go on the ventilator, you get a lung infection, which then goes septic, and then they got to hit you with a vancomycin. Vancomycin is a very, very strong antibiotic that's known in high quantities to kill the kidneys, and I believe it did. Now, it may be set up by remdesivir, maybe a combination, but I have six medical files, which are several thousand pages each, and it was really hard to find one. I had to run it through an optical character recognition software so that I could search it. And then I didn't search for vancomycin. I searched for VANC and mm-hmm. I found it. It said Vanco ordered. That's it. So I know that that guy was on vancomycin. All five were on vancomycin. Two were on remdesivir. Two were on baricitinib. One was on neither. But all five were on vancomycin and all five died from acute renal failure.
I want to recap this one because this is so important for everybody. And I think you're going to have a lot of listeners who can attest to this, right? So John, first thing that happens, person tests positive, and in order to get that 20% pay bump, they put them on remdesivir first, right? Then yep. Then what happens next?
They go into this protocol of slowing the person down. Like, oh, you need some anti-anxiety medication. Oh, you need some you know, oh, you're in pain, you take some of this other stuff that makes you less painful or whatever. They're basically prepping you to be ventilated.
They're depressing respiratory function with these medications.
Yes.
And then creating another need for a ventilator, which gives them another pay bump.
Even if they don't get the bump, 95% oxygen, they put somebody on a ventilator.
Which is absurd, everybody. If you don't even consider the need for oxygen until you drop below 90, number one. All right. And if you're at 95, there is no need for ventilation. They're saying there's a need for ventilation because of depressed respiration rate. Well, what created the depressed respiration rate? The medication. And what does that set the stage up for? Because you're already in a very infected environment. That's what hospitals are. They're called nosocomial infections. Now you get an infection and they throw a hardcore antibiotic, vancomycin, at you, which, like John is saying, probably is the final domino or the final wrecking ball to put you over the top. John, am I understanding that correctly based upon your analysis?
Yes. Yes, I have. In the CDC memorandum, you'll see a number of cases with that. So I have the hourly vital signs, and I picked the hourly vital signs leading up to the ventilation. I mean, I have hundreds of vital signs because people were in the hospital for days and days, and it's 24 checks on a person every day. So it's hundreds of entries into the log. So
now anybody out here, anybody listening to this that has a family member who's going to dismiss this, that's my question that's going to be to them. Have you looked at these logs like John has? Have you analyzed these death certificates? No. Well, then you are not in a place to make an informed opinion about this. John is. He's analyzed this. And maybe we should listen to people who put in the work to understand what is actually going on. John, go for it. Keep on rolling, brother.
All right. So the last lines, I have a cover letter to the CDC memorandum. It's actually written to the directors of the CDC, NIH, and FDA, and 12 of their subordinates. So 15 people. And it's a notice of criminal liability. If they were to be prosecuted in the future, as of, say, now, they could say, well, we didn't know. We didn't have the data. We didn't know. You know, lack of knowledge is a legal defense. But once they know, and they have a legal duty to act, they took the job, they have that legal duty. You and I don't, but they're in a position to save us. They're like a crossing guard that says, hey, Johnny, don't look at the street, look at me. I'll tell you when to go. And the crossing guard's waiting for that bus to come, and here comes the bus. It's not slowing down to pick me up. It's going 50 miles an hour. And the crossing guard says, don't look at the street, look at me. Okay, Johnny, go. That's murder. She has a legal duty to protect Johnny from the traffic. And then she tells him to go in front of the bus. That's what these people at the CDC and FDA are doing, is that they're not only not looking at information, they're preventing us from looking at information that we can save ourselves. This is intentional. So it's over. We know. Now do the right thing or be pursued as criminals for the rest of your lives. Every legal means will be pursued to ensure justice is meted and truth prevails. You have a rare opportunity to remediate your conduct and seek forgiveness. You should take it. May God judge you justly for your decisions and actions. That's how it starts out. Now,
I wonder how you feel about that, John.
Yeah. Well, God will judge them justly for their actions.
There's but one judge. Yep.
So Mandy Cohen, Nirav Shah, these are the people that it's going to. They'll be served hopefully within a week with an unredacted version. All right, let's get into some cases.
So let me understand that. So what you're saying, just to clarify for the listeners, you are sending out a memorandum to a whole slew of people. Can we go back up to that slide? I want to read that out for the people who don't have the slide deck in front of them. Mandy Cohen, CDC Director, Nirav D. Shah, CDC Principal Deputy Director, Deborah Hoori, Dylan George, Dimitri, let me get to this name here, everybody. Dimitri Daskalakis, Robert Califf, Janet Woodcock. We've seen that name on a few things. Mark Raza, Peter Marks. We've seen him all over this, right, John? Hillary DeMarston, Namanje DeBumpus, Lawrence Tabak, Tara Schweitz, and Eric Green and Gene Marzo. They're going to be receiving a notification of criminal liability from you with the information. And now it's their obligation, duty, and opportunity to remediate and correct course. And if they don't, now they can be pursued for criminal involvement because you have summarily notified them. Is that correct? Am I understanding that?
Yes. If somebody subsequently dies from an act which is evinced, evidence of which exists within this document, and they've had a reasonable time to act and have not acted, and they're concurrently have a legal duty to act, then it's murder.
Roger that. Okay. I love the strategy here. You see, everybody, this is when you go, well, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? You could do what John's doing. John's putting together the information and letting them know, oh, well, I can't put it together. I didn't get all that information. Okay, well, John put the information together for you. Go and get the information and do the same thing. Flood them with notification of liability. Flood them. I mean, folks, there's no reason why we can't. So if you have an idea, what should I do? What can I do? Go to therealcdc.com. Get yourself informed. Support somebody who's been fighting for you. And then put yourself in a position now as someone, an American who's informed, to take action. He's showing you a pathway here, and it's a very easy thing for us to follow. John, we got a couple of minutes in this segment. Go ahead and let's set up these Minnesota cases right now.
All right. I'm just going to roll through some real quickly. I'm going to skip over, like, these are official death records. The state file number is there. They're real people. January 5th, 78-year-old guy, sudden cardiac death. Vaccine second dose 10 hours prior to death. No, there were not code prefixes Y59, T50, or T88 on the death certificate. They were not applied by the CDC. The death certificates, this will be a setup. The death certificates go from the state to the CDC with English words on them in the causes and contributing conditions of death. The CDC has an automatic software dual program called TransAct and ACME. The words go through the program and out come the numbers that are the ICD-10 codes, their international cause of death codes. That is how all diseases are tracked. When they say heart disease is up or strokes are down, that's what they're talking about are the codes. Now, if it doesn't generate the codes, it's not tracked. It doesn't exist, right? Well, this one says vaccine second dose 10 hours prior, and it's not coded with Y59.
We'll come right back with our special guest, John Bodwin, and talk more about fraud of omission. And I think what John is going to get into, something he's been educating me on, fraud of commission, and the proof that he has of it right here after these messages.
When God, through his grace and mercy, gave us free will, the will of the people was to live freely. To that end, we fight for the liberty of all. At a time when global tyranny threatens us as never before in mankind's history. This vision is manifest at AmericaOutloud.news, a site for all who cherish free will and freedom. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio, liberty and justice for all.
Who's got time for a nasal invasion messing up your lifestyle? Crush those nasties before they become a problem. For a limited time, when you add the new Cofix RX throat spray to your order with the coupon code OUTLOUD, you'll receive 20% off the entire purchase. Go to AmericaOutloud.shop. That's AmericaOutloud.shop and use coupon code OUTLOUD.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit healright.com/outloud or americaoutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
All right, healers, welcome back. We're here with special guest John Bodwin. Make sure you go to therealcdc.com. That's therealcdc.com. Get his new book and the memorandum and get yourself informed and do something about it. We left off talking about on death certificates, fraud of omission. And now we're going to turn it back over to John to come back in and keep educating us on his analysis of the death certificates he's analyzed. John, I just had one question for the on behalf of the viewers before you get started. How many death certificates have you been able to analyze when you put all the states you've looked at and gotten access to? How many have you analyzed thus far? Estimated.
It's over a million.
So this is a significant number, folks. So anybody that tries to dismiss on that, you can't. All right. This is a legit number, a million death certificates this man has analyzed. The only person I know of in the entire world that has done such a task. Go for it, John.
All right. Thank you. More to come, too. Can't talk about it. You'll find out in May.
Okay. Fair enough.
you'll find out sooner, but everybody else will find out in May. February 24, 2021, 77-year-old, out of hospital cardiac arrest for unclear reasons in one day. Patient had her second dose of the vaccine the day before her cardiac arrest. Was not coded. And of course, they have to throw this in. This is actually written. The case was reported to the CDC, though it's not clear as to any mechanism for how the vaccine could have led to the cardiac arrest. Gee, I can't imagine what could possibly have done it.
But you know what's interesting with that last statement, John, was that they're saying that it caused it. They say it's not clear how it caused it, but they didn't say it didn't cause it. You know what I'm saying?
They're not clear because they don't look. All they got to do is open up the heart and you'll see all the lymphocytic or lymphohistiocytic or eosinophilic myocarditis is being attacked by various types of white cells, depending on the person and the timing. But anyway, so in March, another 77-year-old woman, myocardial infarction, so heart attack, COVID vaccination 227. Well, there's only 28 days in February, don't forget. So that was 3 days. And she felt sick after the vaccine. So she gets the vaccine, feels sick, and 3 days later, she's dead from a heart attack. The codes were not applied. March 17, 65-year-old, heart attack, presented to cardiology, received COVID vaccine on 3-5. 3-5, but he presented to cardiology on 3-11. So 3-11 is 6 days after vaccination, and then dead another 6 days after that, so 12 days. Even though it's mentioned on that death certificate, as is in blue here, no codes were applied. Now
for everybody listening, when John says no codes were applied, he's talking about Y59T. Can you go back up to the previous one, John, the previous slide? Y59, T50, and T88, which are codes, John's international. Go for it.
The T59.0 is exactly viral vaccines. That's what it means. Okay. And that is what people have been using for a vaccine death in multiple states until the CDC found out or somebody found out they were doing it and they shut it down. And I'm going to explain that.
You got it, brother. Go for it.
T88, it's 88.1 means other complications from following immunization not elsewhere classified, verbatim. It's a generic kind of. Some immunization did it. So when lawyers or other people, even on our side, when I say our side, I mean the righteous side, even when they say, you know, they're on our side, they say there are no codes for vaccine death. We can't code them. We're not tracking because there are no codes. They're all wrong. There are codes. There have been codes. You know, if the bucket says apples and I'm holding a Macintosh, I can throw that at Macintosh into the apple bucket, right? It's not a pear. It's an apple. You know, it doesn't have to say Macintosh. So they have plenty of codes where they can use more generic codes for everything, not just, you know, vaccine deaths. So anyway, these codes were missing. And then we go to this guy. Let's just read the bottom line. Codes prefixes Y59 and T50 were applied to this death certificate in March. Okay. March 19. He was 68, heart attack less than 4 hours. Notice the words adverse reaction. to COVID vaccination, less than 4 hours, right? So it was coded. It said adverse reaction. It says vaccination, not vaccine. It says vaccination. 90-year-old COVID vaccine side effects, Y59TA were applied. They were applied. And it says COVID vaccine side effects. It says vaccine, not vaccination, and side effects. 86-year-old Moderna vaccine on 214, codes not applied. This is a case of a man, 38 years old, wife and four kids. He immigrated as a child from Nigeria to Rhode Island, like 45 minutes from me. He was raised there and ended up in law school. He was a DA in the Bronx in New York City, married a beautiful woman from Minnesota, had four beautiful kids, just a great family. And then he got the shot and he died on his front lawn with four young kids. I think they're all under 11 years old. Lymphocytic myocarditis involving, well, it's his right bundle branch. No codes were applied. His wife has been trying to ascertain information. I don't know that it's a sketchy kind of, there's a lawsuit going on. So they've clammed up. But he was killed by the vaccine. It doesn't have any codes. So 49 death records. I looked for VACCIN. That's how I found all these. Some of them actually say unvaccinated and not vaccinated. But just to give you an idea, nine of them in 2021 were situated in the context of immunization. Four in 2022. I'm going to try to blow through this 37-year-old man. I correlated a VAERS record to a death certificate. Both of them said that he was a teacher and they taught online classes. This guy didn't show up. A few days later, they found him dead in his room. He had vomited eight times, literally nothing left, said he didn't have any good sleep. Heart was beating quite fast, so he had tachycardia too. Anyway, the vaccine killed him. 65-year-old coronary artery disease. So I was able to correlate not only the date of death, age, and gender, but also I needed more information. And sometimes the exact verbiage from the VAERS record is also in the death certificate. And this is one of them: hyperlipidemia, atrial fibrillation, PSA, and myocardial infarction, all in the same, both. It's the same guy. I got the right guy. No mention of the codes. All right, here's what I want to talk about. Aaron Hertzberg, whom I work with, he got some Vermont records and we talked about those. He did a great job. And then when I was writing the book, we got the Minnesota and I said, you go do that. And I'm going to keep writing the book. And I got back around to the Minnesota, but he's a good guy. We talk all the time. He wrote an article on the Minnesota data. And the title was CDC altered Minnesota death certificates that list the COVID vaccine as cause of death. And in one of the paragraphs, it said, in almost every death certificate that identifies a COVID vaccine as a cause of death, the CDC committed data fraud by not assigning the ICD-10 code for vaccine side effects to the causes of death listed on the death certificate. This was written July 3rd last year. And what happened? Greg Piper from Just the News 2 days later. Oh, by the way, that was printed in Brownstone Institute. That went viral. Millions of people saw it. And so it blew up back then. And 2 days later, Greg Piper, Just the News, sent an email to the CDC for comment. Hello, this is Greg Piper at Just the News. I want to get the agency's response to this reported discovery about your categorization of Minnesota death certificates. And the CDC responded on July 6th, the very next day, 3 days after the article came out, 1 day after Greg Piper's inquiry. Well, I'll tell you how I feel about it, and then I'll read it to you. The response email from Nordland is an unintelligible word salad, seemingly debating the difference between the word vaccine and the word vaccination. The email appears to be an attempt to misinform, disinform, and outright prevaricate, expressing that there is no unusual pattern of illness or death resulting from COVID immunizations. Hi, Greg. This is from Kristen Nordland. On July 6th, hi, Greg, thanks for reaching out to the CDC. The claim in the post is incorrect. The ICD-10 codes in question pertain to adverse effects of vaccines, not vaccination. Vaccination is not a disease or cause of death, so simple mention of the vaccine or vaccination without mention of adverse effects will not get coded. Does it make any sense to anybody at all?
No.
All right. The examples in the article for which the adverse effects are included are those that mention adverse effects of, side effects of, and so forth. I won't read the rest. She says it's a intense safety monitoring that most in the history of the United States for this vaccine, bunch of lies. What she didn't know, you understand, she tailored her excuse surrounding the three that were coded. One said adverse effects of, one said side effects of, and she said, oh, it shouldn't, the vaccination is not a vaccine. Well, guess what? In Massachusetts, the records she didn't know we had, Solomon Kizito on January 16, the only one coded, it says vaccination, not vaccine. It doesn't say side effect of, it doesn't say adverse effects of. So she lied in her response to the new to the news guy, Greg Piper. More lies on top of lies. And that's more fraud and more people will die. Yes, Solomon Kizito was coded. The software did code it without all of her little excuses, because it picks up vaccine and vaccination and it does code them. I proved it through a number of records. And so what you have here is manual intervention to delete Y59 from the records that subsequently came after these deaths. The CDC has been hiding vaccine deaths from the American public. And because they have a single point of failure, a central organization, they were able to do it for every state. So what is she telling
you? It syncs up with the whole process, John, right? Because once you file the death certificate, it goes to the National Vital Statistics System, which is under the CDC's domain. And they have the right to then modify the death certificate per their discretion. That's one of the little things that you learn when you talk to certified death reporting clerks, that they can kick it back to you, but they can also just modify it at their discretion and there's no oversight. So what you are showing right there is definitive fraud. The system they have in place that would find the words vaccine and vaccination and code it properly, they are then going out and deleting the codes once they've been added by the software. That's what I'm gathering from this. Is that what I'm hearing from you?
Yep.
Wow.
Yes. So these are all federal felonies, 5 to 20 years each. Obfuscate, obscure, camouflage, COVID drug therapy. All right. Let me. What is Kristen? Oops. I got to go into this. There we go. All right. I'm not even getting to causes of death. I'm going to run out of time real fast.
Don't worry about it.
So this is all cause COVID and pneumonia. The one thing to notice, Minnesota, their excess deaths were in line with COVID deaths, not like Massachusetts. Massachusetts, there were 5,500 extra COVID deaths that there were no excess deaths for. They just threw COVID on all the death certificates, hundreds and hundreds. Fentanyl overdoses, blunt force trauma to the head, blunt force trauma to the torso, accidental deaths, anybody over 90 that died of a heart attack, COVID. But in Minnesota, they didn't, their excess deaths actually match. That's what this is showing. But what I really want you to focus in on is 2020, it went down from 2020 to 21, right? It went down. So that's all cause. COVID went down. And this is pneumonia went up very slightly, very, very, very slightly, but it's pretty much even. And that's not consistent with other causes of death where they went up instead of down. I'm going to skip these. These are waveforms. It takes a lot to explain it. In Massachusetts, by the way, this first wave, the first pink bar was way, way higher than the second wave. But in Minnesota, the second wave is higher than the first wave. They didn't get the memo to commit more fraud until months later after the season was over. You know, Massachusetts got the memo right away because that's where the center of all the vax stuff is. All right. So blood and blood forming, remember?
Yep.
So this is in the top left, all cause went down, COVID went down, but the decodes, which are blood and blood forming, they all went up and up. They're still going up, right?
John, hold on one second. For everybody listening in, what John's showing, and we want you to check out the slides that he's going to share with you as well so you can verify this. But he's showing Minnesota data, blood and blood-forming causes going up, and he's comparing and showing trajectory from 2020 to 2021 and 2022. So when he says something went up, he's saying that in 2022, it's gone up when it should have gone down. All right? So go ahead, John, and pick up from there.
Yep. So I say blood and blood forming, just think of clots and bleeds. So hemorrhages and clots. That's really what we're talking about. Blood and blood forming. I picked, this is D8, all ages. Here we go. This is a subcategory of the D codes I just showed you. This is all the prefix D8 codes. It's involving the immune mechanism where white cells are formed. Look at 2022. It is crazy high. 21 is also crazy high, but the only reason it's lower is because you had to fit the 22 bar in there. If 22 wasn't there and you looked at 21, you'd say, oh my God, 21 is so high. Mm-hmm. Now 2020 is high a little bit, but that's because there were excess deaths in 2020. And with all excess deaths, a lot of the causes are going to go up. So if I divide by the total number of deaths in a year, you see on the right here, it's actually lower than 2017 and it's the exact same as 2018. So 2020 was not an anomalous year. Only 21 and 22 were. That's it. It's again, waveforms are tough to go through. But if you want to see a linear graph in the top left here, see 2022 just running away from everybody and 21. But you see 2020 was among all the other years until the last couple months of the year, not even the last couple months, the last 4 weeks of the year, it separated a little bit.
Yeah, all right. I think, John, we have about a minute left and I want to make sure we get your final thoughts, but I want to just say to everybody this on what John's talking about with excess deaths. And we're going to bring John back and we'll bring him back in a couple weeks as his schedule permits to kind of talk about this a little bit more. I don't want to rush through it, you know what I mean? But I want to get you all into an understanding of excess deaths. Excess deaths happen periodically due to typically our senior population living longer than what was expected, whatever that means, for a few years at a time. And then there'll be a year where more of our seniors pass away than we had anticipated. And then you get into pretty much an excess death. The only time prior to COVID in recent world history where there have been consecutive years of excess deaths has been World War II. Before World War II, it would be World War I. 2020, 2021, 2022, 2023, and now 2024, we are seeing a continuing pattern of excess deaths. And it's very concerning because we are supposedly not at war. What we want, what John is saying right here, everybody, is that you have to be able to explain anything more than 1 year of excess deaths. You have to, if all of our seniors died in 2020 due to COVID, right? And these, of course, those hospital protocols and everything with remdesivir all the way to vancomycin. If our seniors were getting annihilated in 2020, that means that there shouldn't have been excess deaths in 2021 or excess deaths in 2022. That John is proving conclusively that there are excess deaths and runaway excess deaths by 2022, you have to be able to explain, well, what is causing that? The only thing that has changed, everybody, is the elephant and elephants in the room. It's like a Ringling Brothers three-ring circus here of elephants in the room. The only thing that has changed in that time frame are these damn shots. And that's what John is showing here conclusively. So make sure you go to therealcdc.com. Make sure you support John. Make sure you look through this. The graphics will show you so much in here and explain everything. John, we got 1 minute. I want to give it to you. What are your final thoughts for everybody today?
This is raw data for everybody to understand. You can just look at this graph. These are clots in veins. People dying with clots in their veins. It didn't happen in 2020, year COVID. It happened more in 21 and 22. And it's raw data. I don't do confidence intervals, statistics. Inferential statistics are, in my opinion, not even appropriate for epidemiology, but I'll fight against 10 professors from around the world on that one. They can't convince me. But people like you who can just look at this and say, mm-hmm. Something happened. Something happened to kill people by clots. And this is just one little category in one state. And it's happening across. The strokes are up. I didn't show you cancers. Lymph node cancer more than 400% of normal in Massachusetts in 2023. And then 100,000 people by acute renal failure across the United States. I guess I'll close with that. The hospital protocols are just as bad as the vaccine. They're killing people in hospitals and they're killing people with the vaccines. They're just killing people. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. And John, thank you so much for being here, folks. And we're going to bring him back. All right. But we want you in the time between now and we do bring him back. We want you to make sure you go out to therealcdc.com, get the book, get the memorandum, get them both, Start reading through them. There are so many visual aids in there to really help you understand and to make it really plain. And I want to simplify it as best as I can for you all right now. If there are consecutive years of excess deaths, you have to be able to explain why. Now, they're going to try and tell you in the future years that it's climate change. I call BS on that. All right, we can talk all day about carbon and how we're carbon-based life forms and carbon ain't the problem. The problem is this geoengineering. We can get into that in depth. But what I want to get to you is an understanding of the importance of healthy skepticism and asking the right questions. Why are there 3 years? You said COVID was the worst, right? So 2020 should have been our worst year of deaths, right, everybody? That should have been our worst year. And then we should have seen everything start going back down to the normal baselines from 2019, 2018, 2017 that John shows definitively in his work. That's why it's so wonderful. You get to see all of it. But the numbers aren't going down when it comes to clotting disorders, blood disorders. The numbers aren't going down when it comes to lymphocytic cancers. The numbers are skyrocketing. And why is that? We have to be able to explain it. What do all of these have in common? All these people got, and I should say all, the vast majority got the damn shot. And then when they die, what's the cover up? Fraud of omission, fraud of commission. And specifically, taking a tool to code and saying, no, we're just going to delete those codes, even if they do find their way on there. And that way we can have the continual plausible deniability of, no, it wasn't the damn shots. You know how I know it wasn't the damn shots? Because the shots are safe and effective. Didn't you know that, you stupid head? They're so safe and effective that the people we love are being murdered right in front of our face. Folks, I want to say a special thank you to John Baudouin for his tireless work. This is a labor of love for all of us, everybody, and we need to make sure we're supporting real heroes like this. And I got to tell you, I'm about to go buy a bunch of these books today and give them out to family, whether they like them or not. I don't give a damn. You know why? Because John did something for all of us that published that first paper and took all that heat in 2020. He validated it. And validated it in no uncertain terms that what we were seeing early on and the suspicions we had that we published in that first peer-reviewed paper was right on and sadly worse than we even thought. Make sure you go to therealcdc.com. Make sure you buy something and support this great man for this great work, this historic work that he has done. And make sure you send him a note too of gratitude. Because believe it, those little things are the best payment people like him and I really get on this journey that we do. May God shine his divine light down upon us all, everyone we love, and surround us in the protection of his warm and healing embrace. And may we have the courage to receive such a blessing should it find us. Till we meet again, healers, I say to you all and your loved ones, aloha. Adios.